I want to talk to you about the spirit of containment. God is always moving you forward, always moving you higher, always moving you out. And the enemy always wants to keep you contained. And today, I believe the Spirit of the Lord wants to unlock some things in our life. Amen. Everyone say, unlock me, Lord. If you don't watch it, the enemy will contain you and he'll keep you contained for a lifetime. At one point in time in your life, you're going to have to break out. You're going to have to say goodbye to some things and you're going to have to move out and move in. Amen. Everyone say, move out and move in. God is not going to bring the promised land into your Egypt. God is not going to bring the promised land into your wilderness. God is going to bring you out of Egypt. He's going to bring you out of the wilderness and he's going to bring you into the promised land. That means you're going to have to say goodbye to a few things. So I'm going to look first of all at the spirit of Pharaoh and the children of Israel. You remember the Spirit of the Lord, he told Moses, you go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You're talking about the greatest nation in the earth. And this Pharaoh wasn't like the first one that had favor with Joseph. I mean, he loved Joseph. He promoted him to the highest rank. This Pharaoh, 400 years later, he was mean. He was a taskmaster. He wanted to keep him in bondage all of their days. And God said, it's time to let my people go. It would say, let my people go. I believe this is a generation where God is calling us out of the systems of the world, out of the systems of the church. Sometimes we got to get delivered from church. Don't amen too much on me. We're talking about that church out there somewhere, not this one here. Hallelujah. Exodus 5 is Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, you can imagine Pharaoh, Moses coming in. He hadn't seen him in forever. He comes in there, and he says, now, by what authority am I to let the people go? And you can imagine Moses said, God told me. Listen, you can say God all your life until God backs you up. Amen. We're coming to an age and a time where God's going to back us up. Amen. He tells him, he goes, you let my people go. And Pharaoh's first response says, you know, you have way too much time on your hands. You've been thinking like this. You have way too much time. He says, now, not only are you going to continue to lay bricks, but you're going to go find your own straw. It's not going to be provided for. You're going to have to get up earlier, go to bed later. That's what the spirit of Egypt will do if you don't watch it. The time you want to come out, the time God's calling you out, the spirit of Egypt will clamp down on you. Every time you want to start exercising faith, people don't understand it. The second you start exercising faith, your circumstance gets clamped down on you. He said, lay more burden on them. He said, I thought I was coming out. It's looking worse. It'll only be worse for a season. But that's what the spirit of the world wants to do. It wants to intimidate. It wants to keep us bound. But if you have faith and you keep heeding the call of God and hearing the word of the Lord to come out, we are in a time and a season we must come out. Amen? We must come out. Listen, if you think everything's going to come and change just because tomorrow comes around, or because you put two and two together and this date and that date and put all these numbers together, and because this season, that season is going to change. And every time people do that, every time a feast comes along, said everything's going to change. The feast comes and goes and nothing's changed. What's going to shift your life is faith. What's going to change your life is you grabbing a hold of what God has said and said, it's time for me to come out. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, come out. Come out! He says, get you to your burdens. That's what happens to the world. It wants to clamp down on your life. I mean, if you ever exercised faith and your circumstance got worse. I was doing fine till I came here. It's because we get familiar in being managed. We get familiar in being managed in our circumstance. We start buying into the circumstance. We get familiar and we actually get comfortable in a state of misery. Have you ever been comfortable in a state of misery? You get so much of it all the time, you just get used to it. So much tribulation. So many chains. We just get comfortable with it. We just get accustomed to it. Well, you know, this God. Then we start developing doctrines around it. God has called me to suffer. God's calling me to come out. The first response of Pharaoh. I mean, what did Moses think? Pharaoh is just going to bend the knee because he walked into the room? Do you think that your whole circumstance is going to change because you decide one day to exercise faith? Moses had to go back to God and said, God, he didn't hear. I told him what you told me to tell him. And look what he's done. Now my own people hate me. They want to stone me. I did what you told me to do, God. And now my own people have to go gather their own straw. They have to get up earlier, go to bed later, and they all hate me for doing your will, Father. Thanks a lot. Ever felt like you've been put in a position like that? You do the will of God. You know you're doing the will of God, and nothing's changed. Not only has it got worse, your target enemy number one for the devil, your own people hate you, the devil hates you, and Egypt hates you. How'd you like to be Moses? Anybody want to have the call of Moses on their life? Do you pour your heart out to God? And God said, all right, let's stretch forth the rod then, Moses. Let's stretch forth the rod. Say, stretch forth the rod. Now watch this spirit of containment. I've dealt with this thing. Every time you get to a certain level, that enemy will come in. He'll stir something up, get somebody offended. People will leave. They don't even know why they're leaving. There's an enemy that wants to contain your life. You got to know that. And there is a God that wants to set you free. He don't want just to set you free. He wants to set you free generationally. He wants you and your generation set free. To do that, you're going to have to come out. And trust me, when this enemy, he don't want to let go. Even when he has to let go, he don't want to let go. So what he'll do is start negotiating with you. Do never, ever get to the negotiation table of your adversary. Don't settle. Because sometimes he'll say, okay, I'll let you do this, but you ain't going to do that. So let's watch what happens here. So look at Exodus chapter 8. And the Lord spake to Moses, he says, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, he kept telling him the same thing. He never changed his message. Let my people go. You only have one message, Moses? Let's see how easy this is for you, because Moses couldn't talk. He needed to get Aaron's help and all that. And he said, now, Moses, this is all I want you to say. Here's your whole calling. Pharaoh, let my people go. That's all. Don't argue with him. And when he won't do it, stretch forth the rod. So Pharaoh, he started hardening his heart and bucking up. You see, God's the last one you want to buck up to. Especially when God's with somebody, don't buck them. There are some people you can get away with trampling. But if God's with them and you think you're going to trample them, that's going to end up back on your head. Amen. That's where the fear of God comes in. Amen. So he said, let my people go. He says, if you don't refuse, well, then there's going to be frogs. Say frogs. I just couldn't imagine having a driveway full of them and them climbing up in your house, up in your sheets. Pharaoh got a handful of frogs. And so Moses comes in verse 25, chapter 8. Pharaoh called for Moses and says, okay. Go, sacrifice, get out, just do what you got to do. Just ask God. Now, notice this. He said, go sacrifice. Notice verse 27. He said, we will go 3 days. Now notice what he says in verse 25. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron. He says, now you go and sacrifice to your God in the land of Egypt. See, he's cutting the deal. That's not what Moses asked for. Moses said, we're going to go sacrifice outside of Egypt. We're not going to do it inside Egypt. Pharaoh goes, no, I'm in control here. See, the enemy thinks he's in control even when he's already lost. Listen, believe it or not, the day you begin exercising faith, he's already lost. If you'll stay with it, he's going to lose. If you don't stay with it, he's going to win. As soon as God said this is going to happen, it was already done in God's eyes. In the enemy's eyes, I mean, it's like, this guy's not going to give up nothing. He goes, all right, look, I'm in control. I'm going to let you go, but you're not leaving the land of Egypt. Moses said, yes, we are. We're going outside your border. Notice, look at verse 27. He says, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and we'll sacrifice to the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Now, Moses could have bent the knee. Well, you know, God, he is willing to let us go out. So let's just do this and we can make him happy. We can be happy. And I'm sure, God, you'll be happy. But that's not what God said. He said 3 days. But notice what Pharaoh says. Look at verse 28. Pharaoh said, I will let you go. The devil said, I'll let you go. But I got conditions on your release. You may sacrifice the Lord God, but only you shall not go very far away. See, that enemy still wants to keep his hook in you. He wants to keep the control in you. He wants to keep a hook. Said, I'm going to let you do whatever you're going to do with God. But we're going to stay in my territory. Moses could have, right there, said, all right, let's just do that. Thank God he was strong. Amen. Thank God he listened. He said, no, that's not the way it's going to happen. We're going 3 days' journey. And Pharaoh said, no, you're not. And said, all right, then you're going to get frogs, lice, and flies. Have you ever had lice? I'm quite certain they don't have those special combs that we use in this day and hour. Man, our house got lice one day, and we had to get that comb. You got to go through every single hair follicle to get those little critters. Anna did that. I mean, it's just a pestilence. I mean, frogs, lice, flies. And Pharaoh goes, okay, enough. Come back in, Moses. Come back in. Let's come back to the negotiating table. That's what happens. You keep exercising faith. God's going to command your enemies to let you go. I remember one time Tina, she had first or second meeting. I don't, man, the power of God was so powerful. In fact, that's Friday night, this Friday. You don't miss that. Those meetings are powerful. I don't know what happened. I ended up on the floor somewhere and she looked at me. She goes, I'll never forget this. She goes, at one point in time, the devil's going to have to let you go. Well, I never left that. At one point in time, the devil's going to have to let you go. If you're in faith, and you're dwelling with God, the enemy's going to have to loose his grip on your life. He's going to have to let you go. Everyone say, let me go. Amen. All right, so negotiating round number two. Exodus 10. So this time Moses and Aaron brought in verse 8, unto Pharaoh, he said to them, go, smote their livestock with plagues and hail. And he said, now locusts are coming too. And Pharaoh said, okay, enough. Each time he'd get enough. He said, all right. He'd call them back in. He said, all right. All right. All right, Moses. Okay. See how stubborn the enemy is? You gotta be determined to come out. God has a promised land for you. But just because he has a promised land does not mean you're going to dwell in it if you don't get out of this system that doesn't want to let you go. It's in the church. It's in the world. It's in your soul. It's in your generations. It's everywhere. but it's not more powerful than God. Amen. He goes, but, all right, I'm going to let you go, but I want to know who's going. Who is going? Still controlling. All right, I'll let you go 3 days. You got that. You won. But I want to know who. Most said, well, we're all going. Family, wife, children, we're going. He goes, well, wait a minute. Notice what he says. Moses said, well, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. What's Pharaoh's, what's his reply? Not so. You ever had a not so in your life? Not so. Only the men shall go. That's when he starts cutting the deal. All right, you're going to go, but not the children, not the wives, not the spiritual sons and daughters. Only one can go. Everybody else has to stay under the control. Listen, the generation we're living in is not one person going to the promised land. We're all going in. I go, you go. You go, I go. And the enemy's saying, not so. Only the men shall go. Moses said, no. See, again, Moses, he could come back and say, I got victory. But in the kingdom, partial victory is not victory. God's not just going to have you go and have your children follow the world. We have a promise, our whole household shall go. If I'm going, my household's going. You're going to see it. You're going to get to go because I go, you go. Listen, this is not where one pastor goes and the apostle goes and everybody else serves the apostle. Everybody goes. The spiritual sons and daughters go. He said to make a deal. Well, you can go, but everybody else got to stay. No, all go. Thank God he's given us a kind of revelation that all can go. It's not enough for just one to go. We have to have the kind of revelation that all can go. I'm not talking about just the word all can go, the kind of revelation that everyone can follow on in to the Father. Isn't that glorious? All right. Then Moses said, all right. Then he says, the frogs, the lice, the flies, none of that did it. Then the livestock, the plague on the livestock. So now you get locusts. You're going to get locusts for breakfast. You're going to get locusts for lunch. You're going to get locusts for dinner because there ain't nothing else going to be there after the locusts are done. There ain't nothing to eat but locusts. You're going to have locusts flying up in your bedroom. You're going to be sleeping and the locusts are going to come up in there and they'll crawl on you. Locusts. Anna said, why did he harden it? Every time God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that meant more for the children of Israel. Because God, if he had let them go in the beginning, they wouldn't have gone out with the wealth of Egypt. By the time they ended, they got all the wealth. He said, just get out. And they said, well, we want your wealth. And he said, okay, go. You can have it. That was because he kept hardening his heart. He said, all right. He calls Moses back in. He said, okay, pray. He kept saying, you pray to God for me. Just get rid of these locusts. I promise, I'll let you go. So, round three of negotiation. All right, we can go 3 days journey. You can go, your sons and daughters can go, your spiritual sons and daughters can go, your family can go, the old and young can go. Everybody said amen. But, chapter 10, verse 24, Pharaoh called for Moses. He says, go. That's a good word. Go. Serve the Lord. You and your little ones can go with you. I don't care. Go. Only your flocks and your herds must not go. Do you know why he didn't want their flocks and herds to go? Because he didn't have any flocks and herds left. Because when God sent lightning bolts and hail and plagues, the land of Goshen didn't experience any of it. In fact, there was a darkness that came over Egypt. And he says, but I'll, in the land of Goshen, you'll be in light. Can you imagine darkness on that side of the pole? Light. Can you imagine that? He said, it's not going to come. And see, all of Pharaoh's livestock was wiped out. He said, I'm going to let you go, but you ain't taking your wealth. That's mine. So the livestock was their wealth. God said, no, we're going. And the livestock. See how the enemy negotiate? See, sometimes you'll break into some area, and in the financial area you can't break into. In reality, it all, the Bible says, all things are yours. Everyone say, all things are mine. But you can't be negotiating with the enemy, and you cannot settle in the land of Egypt and call it a promised land. You cannot settle in the wilderness and call it a promised land. You have to keep the promised land in your heart. You have to keep it in the frontlets of your eyes. It's got to be in your mouth. Because if he takes it out of your heart, and he takes it out of your mouth, and he takes it out of the frontlets of your eyes, you will settle. And he'll conform you to his image. Everyone say, not so. I go. To break out, you have to keep the promise of God very near to you. You have to keep it in your heart. You have to dare to dream with God. Can you imagine? That's what he wanted him to do. He said, listen, I'm taking you out of this whole lifestyle of laying bricks, and I'm bringing you to a land of flowing with milk and honey. It's going to be your land. It's going to be your land. And I'm going to give you cities and homes that you didn't build. And I'm going to give you olive yards and vineyards you didn't plant. I'm going to give you businesses. Dream with me. Dream with me. Dare to dream the dream of God. Dream with me. Believe and dream with me. But if you let these things depart from your heart, that's what Moses told him. He says, do not let this depart from your heart. He says, you let it depart from your eyes. You let it depart from your heart. You're going to lose it. The day you lose your inheritance is when it departs from the heart. It departs from the mouth. It departs from the eyes. You give up. When you give up, that spirit will surround you and make you settle. Sobering, isn't it? We need to constantly, in this place, we're going to challenge you. Because God's challenging me every single day. So if he's challenging me, I get to challenge you. Amen? God's saying, break out. Break out. Listen, you want to recount the stuff that's happened. You want to recount the past. Everybody's got a past. Life is not fair. There's nothing about life. Your enemy's vicious. Life is not fair. Your circumstances are unreal. Everybody is going through something. But if anybody in here is going through a battle, raise your hand. Hello. We may have two people in here that are not going through it. Because they just came through it. They're in the victory now. Do you think one day is going to come and your battles are going to be over? That enemy will never let you go. But God will command him to let you go. If you'll keep the promise of God in your heart, in the frontlets of your eyes, you keep it in your mouth, and you stay close to God, the Father himself is going to command that you let go. Finally, he broke the back of Pharaoh. He finally broke his back. He said, go. You can go 3 days. The men can go. The women can go. The children go. The livestock can go. Just get out. Every time Pharaoh hardened his heart, God was going to get more. He says, okay, Pharaoh, since you harden your heart, not only is the livestock going out, but all your wealth going out now. Say, all the wealth. They gladly gave it to them. At the end, they didn't even have to ask, what can we do to get you out of our country? Can I give you an offering to leave? Yes, we want your earrings. We want your necklaces. We want your gold. Bracelets. Treasury chest. We want it all. And none of them Isn't that amazing? They were so broken. He broke the back of the greatest country in the world. They were so broken, he said, borrow. I like the word borrow. It wasn't like he was going to give it back. Borrow. Say borrow. From your neighbor, they'll freely give it. When I'm done with them. You know, he told Moses in the beginning. He told him this. He said, they're going to give you all their wealth. Can you imagine, Moses? How is this going to happen? How is the world going to give up its wealth? How's the greatest nation on the earth? When Pharaoh wouldn't even, my first time in all, I mean, he turned his back. He hardened himself. And he said, go back to the brickyard. How are they going to give the wealth up? That's God's dealings. I'm telling you, this in this generation, the world's going to give its wealth up again to the body of Christ. It's going to give it all up. The people of God are coming out. Say, coming out. It says, borrow from the neighbor. They freely gave them all. Somebody say amen. They said, take it all. Just get out. I don't care. I just don't want any frogs. I don't want lice. I don't want hell. I don't want rivers of blood. Just get out. See, when they're under that kind of judgment, their wealth meant nothing to them. He took their pride and brought it low. They gave the wealth up. Because Moses, listen to me very carefully, because Moses continued to obey, because Moses continued to follow God and did not settle, he came out with all of it. Had he settled at one point with an enemy, if he would have settled at one point, he would not have gotten everything God said. Sometimes we settle. Sometimes you got to shake yourself. Sometimes when it ain't going right for me and I'm facing things, I shake myself off. I go right back in to God. I say, go right back in there. Everyone says, shake it off. The Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Man, I've been prophesying to myself. I'm coming out. See, this comes a time you're going to live like this anymore. How do I get there? You want to know how you get there? It's not because you wake up tomorrow. The vision inside of you grows so strong, it refuses to accept your circumstance anymore. As long as you don't have vision, you'll accept the circumstance. Well, that vision keeps growing and growing and growing and growing inside of you. It grows so strong that what's inside of you is calling for you. It's calling you out. What's inside of me is stronger than what's working against me. See, that's why you got to feed what's inside, because you don't get what's working on the inside. Then your circumstance, you'll just keep putting up with it, see. You'll just put up with it. Another round of affliction. Give me another affliction light. I'll take another six-pack of affliction light, please. Give me another affliction. We wear the t-shirts affliction. I have one of them. Oh, I wear that anymore. I was wearing that for a while. I haven't worn that in a while. I can't be wearing affliction anymore. I need to be wearing promised land. I remember Tammy goes, Pastor LaRue, why you wear affliction? She goes, I looked that word up. She goes, you don't want to wear affliction. I'm right in the middle of the wilderness. The enemy loves to mantle you. I'm not going to be mantled. Amen. The way out of the wilderness is you got to have something working within. And when it gets stronger, it will stop putting up with that which is without. And when that happens, you start the paradigm shift of the kingdom. What's within starts calling you out. Amen. What's within gets more powerful than your circumstance. A lot of times we want out. We desire to come out. Our circumstances are constantly surrounding us, but we don't have anything working within. Feed that which is within. Feed the heart. Dream with God a dream. Keep it in the frontlets of your eyes. Keep it in the palms of your hands. keep his promise, keep his word, hold it fast, and it'll call you out. Amen? I'm being called out. This is the season of my graduation. Anybody want to rejoice with me? I'm graduating. You know, that's not just a faith statement. That's reality now. Because what's in here is greater than what's out here. I found out how to get what's in here greater than what's out here. When that happens, I don't even look anymore. When things are not going my way, I just close my eyes. I said, this is not the reality out here. And I just tap into what's in here. This is the reality. What you have said is the reality of my life. What you have said is I have a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land that you careth for. For the eyes of the Lord are upon it from the beginning of every year to the end of every year. It's a land of fountains, a land of plenteous grapes. It takes two men to carry it out with a staff. It's a land where I get cities and homes I didn't build. I'm inheriting in this land. I'm drinking from wells I didn't dig. I'm inheriting olive yards and vineyards. I didn't plant them. It's a land where I'm the head and not the tail. It's a land that's above only, that I'm above and not beneath. See, you get into the realm of God. You feel that? You get in the realm, you start dreaming with him. And that reality, God is inviting you to dream with him. That reality gets more powerful than the one out here. Amen. Amen. You see that same spirit working even in the Lord's day. It wasn't enough to crucify him. It wasn't enough to beat him. It wasn't enough to scourge him. It wasn't enough to lay his body in the tomb. They had to, the Pharisaical spirit had to go to Pilate and said, listen, we got to seal the tomb. You know, because he talked about 3 days he's going to come out of the tomb. We'll seal that thing with a big old stone. Sometimes the enemy wants to put a big stone on your heart. How many times you've gone through a season and you're left broken with a big old weight boulder upon your heart. When you got a boulder on your heart, you don't stand up like this. When you got a boulder over your heart, you start going down like this. You start walking. You can't look people in the eye. Everything's heavy all the time. Everything's weighty all the time. It's hard to even get up. Everything's a burden. Making lunch is a burden. It's a loathsome spirit. The stone gets set over you. Sometimes you don't know it, but your enemies are your graduation. They may roll a stone over your heart. I can't move anymore out here. I can't move out here. I got a big stone. Every time I try to, how many of you ever try to do something? Every time you try to stretch out your hand, nothing's happening. Nothing's opening over here. Nothing's open over there. Every time you try to go out, nothing's happening. There's only one way for you. Go up. They laid Jesus in that tomb. None of them actually thought he'd be resurrected. They laid that stone over. Sometimes that's your blessing. I mean, when this church suffered one of its greatest defeats, there was nothing left in me. All I wanted to do is golf. I didn't care. You just get to the point where you just lose it. I didn't want to turn the right or left. I didn't have any life anymore. But from that position, God opened the door. But it wasn't out here. It was one that way. Just like he did for the Lord. He opened one straight up. Sometimes when nothing's opening out here, it's because you got a wide open one up there. Sometimes you're looking at the wrong door. You keep wanting to roll the stone away. Can you imagine trying to roll that stone away on your own? You can't roll that one. Some of you got a stone around you. You can't roll that stone. It'll break you before you break it. And sometimes that stone is your greatest blessing. Because every time you try to move out, it's right there. Restricting you and constricting you. Restraining you and constraining you. Every time. Trying to contain you. But it's a blessing if you know where your door is. Some of you need to get your eyes off the world and get it into the glory. Because you got a wide open door to the Father. And if you get the door of ascension and the door of resurrection, God's going to come down with resurrection power. That's the one thing they weren't counting on him going straight up. But he had to go down so we could go up. We don't have to go down when a stone's in front of us. If you got a stone, don't try to be pushing that with your hands. That's going to be rolled away by heaven alone. The more you try to roll it, the worse it's going to get for you. You might as well just find your door up. You got one way to go. Look at your neighbor and say, you only got one way. Up. Go up. Go up! Go up. Everyone say, go up! Go up! Sometimes God's trying to promote you. You're trying to push the promotion out here. And say, no. In the kingdom, you got to go up. And then they'll go out. Go up, and I'll send some lightning down for you. When that angel came down, he was like lightning. That angel was full of the glory and the resurrection life, and he rolled that thing away. And notice what he did. Look at your notes. I love it. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, go up. That was the greatest thing God ever did. Taught me how to go up. I talked to preachers on a weekly basis. Now, I had one call me yesterday. He said, man, the glory of God's really flowing, but I am going through warfare. They always say it. They're just calling me up and just confessing their warfare to me. And I haven't talked to him in a long time. I love this man. Amazing. Because I have things opening for me all over the world, but I've got warfare. He goes, I'm just being every day. I told him, you know, you can live above that. He said, what? I said, you could live above that. And when I started talking to him about the Father's dwelling place, he started first, like everybody does, when you start talking about the Father's love. Yeah, I know the Father's love. Yeah. But then something happened. And I said, I'm not talking about visitation from the Father. I'm talking about dwelling in the Father where he is, above the world and its systems, above the principalities and powers of this age, above those things that are challenging you. And when I start talking like that, the glory of God fell on me, and I knew it was falling on him. He goes, whoa! We're on the phone. He goes, what is that? And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God hits him. And he goes, man, I am under the glory of God. I said, God's just trying to tell you the realm you can live in outside the anointing. We all can live it in the anointing. I used to couldn't wait to get in the anointing so I could get away from my enemies. I'd escape in the anointing just to escape my enemies. I was like, God, just keep the anointing on me for a little while longer, a little while longer, a little while. And then when it left, there comes. I remember one time we had a conference here. Power's place was packed out. It was crazy powerful. That whole week was just off the chain. Everybody, I had a preacher from Atlanta come in here. He flew in. He goes, I'm calling everybody to come down here. Revival's beginning. And I'm thinking, oh, amen, let's go, glory. Hallelujah! Because God elevated us that week. And then comes Sunday morning. We were here all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We were in glory. Then comes Sunday morning. And it's like God vacated the place. I'm like, where did you go? I mean, I would say a word preaching and it would fall to the ground. As soon as it come out of my mouth, I'd have to let my spiritual father say, take a spatula and throw them up, you know. I mean, the place just went dead. I went somewhere, fast food place, and I was sitting in the parking lot just crying. I said, why did you do this to me? Why do you take us up and then you drop us? He says, I'm showing you things to come. That's just a trip into the promised land. You are not ready. And he didn't tell me that day. He told me that over the next season. We weren't ready. But I sure know what it feels like. Man, that anointing had every, oh, man. That was a week. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. That's some promised land stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. That angel. Notice what happened. Yeah, the angel. Angels of God were up in here. Oh, it was amazing. So that angel, he comes down from heaven. He's full of lightning. He just rolls the stone away. Notice what happens. I'll close with this. Watch this. So they sealed the tomb. Listen, God didn't roll that stone away for the Lord's benefit. He could have walked right through it. In fact, you remember he walked through the door. He rolled it away for our benefit. God's going to roll your stone away when you find the door. Amen? When you learn to go up, God will come down. Amen. Now notice this. Ready? Matthew 28, verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door. And notice what it said. He sat upon it. Say, he sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning. Say, he sat upon it. Now, why would that angel come down with all that glory and all that lightning and all that power and the earthquake? And he rolls the stone away, and then he sits down on the stone. He's signifying your stone will be rolled away from a seated position in God, not from your own effort. Amen. I have been raised together. I've been made to sit together. I want to submit to you today, if you're not getting any doors open out here, find the one that's opened up there. As you learn to ascend into the hill of the Lord, God will descend and start rolling your mountains out of the way. This is the word of the Lord under the rule, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before this vision, you will become leveled ground. God will level your mountains when we get seated. That angel sat down to signify our position in Christ. Amen. God's going to bring us out. I want you all to stand up today. I want you to put your hands. I want to break some stones in here today. The Bible says, thy word is a hammer that breaks the rock, the stone in pieces. Just put your hand over your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I decree this stone to be rolled away. Not by my might shall it be rolled away, not by my power, but by your spirit. Everything that has stood against us, our adversaries that have stood against us, the spirit of Pharaoh, the spirit of Egypt, the spirit of the world, the spirit of control, all will bow down and all will break forth as we ascend the hill of the Lord. Father, I thank you, you descend with grace. You alone will come and roll our stone away. Father, set your will. Set vision in our heart. Let our heart burn again. Let hunger arise again in our life. Let us hunger. Let us thirst. We set your vision. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, surrender the old and embrace the new. Surrender the old and embrace the new. For what is dwelling in your heart is where you shall go. What's dwelling in you is where you will be, says the Spirit of grace. Today, we move forward. Today, we come out. We begin today to decree to the Pharaoh spirit, I will not be contained. I will not be contained. They would say, I will not be contained. For. Say forward, forward, forward. I'm here to declare to you, prophesy, my past is overing you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Forward! Forward! I will not be contained. I take authority over the spirit of containment. And I command it broken. I break the spirit of containment. I'm coming out. Everyone say, I'm coming out. Shout it, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. I will not be contained. Forward. 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 Forward.
Power in your hand you have given me.
Forward. Forward. Father, fill this house. Holy Spirit, fill this house. Fill our heart. We surrender the past. We surrender the old. We surrender. We lay down the old. It's over. We lay it down. We lay it down. Forward! Don't put your hand on your heart. Say, forward! Say it, forward. Forward! Forward! Not looking back! They that draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. They that draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. Forward. Forward. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. You make all. Embrace your promises. Embrace your promised land. Embrace the will. Embrace the vision of God for your life. Embrace His word in a brand new way. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word today, Father. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. Father, I thank you. Our stone will be rolled away. Listen, a great stone will be rolled away in this season. A great stone will be rolled away as we dwell with Him where He is. He's coming with mighty glory. He's coming with light. He's coming with power to roll that stone from our life. I don't know about you, but I am tired of contending in this world against a brick wall. Those walls, are the first thing He did when they came in the promised land, those walls of Jericho fell. The first thing that happens in our promised land, the walls begin to be shattered. The stone begins to be rolled away. And was it glory to God? This is our pleasure serving you today. God bless you today.